Let's pray together, please, if you would, for just a moment with me. Lord, I want to thank you, God Almighty. There seems to be an anointing in our midst lately of such kindness of God, such mercy, such hope for the future. I pray, God, that you give everyone in this auditorium this evening who needs to be able to hear this, the courage to hear it. God Almighty, you are the one who raises men and women from the dead. That's what you do. That's who you are. That's why you died. Would you help me tonight to be able to reach into some of the darkest hearts, the deepest places of despair, and by the guiding hand of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, to see men and women brought into the life that is freely offered through Jesus Christ. Give me the skill of a surgeon tonight. Help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to hear these words. I ask it in your precious name. I'm only going to speak to you for about 15 minutes. Then I'm going to open up the front of this auditorium for those who want to step out of death and into life. You want to step out of hopelessness and into a certain hope that God freely offers through Jesus Christ to those who are willing to come to him through the open door that he sets before you. I have a specific word for somebody that's come here this evening. I'm telling you tonight that God is going to speak directly to your heart. And you will know that it is God, through the Holy Spirit, opening his word and speaking directly into your situation. Because you'll be sitting here saying, how could these people know what I'm thinking? How could they know my life? And I say, we don't know what you're thinking, but God does. And he's the one who takes a portion of his word, and he puts it on our heart to speak on it, because he knows that you would be here this evening. You're not here by some kind of a fluke of time or nature. You've actually been drawn by God to be here this evening. No matter how it happened that you came here, you are here because God brought you here. And he brought you here to speak to you because he wants to do something in your life. Let me just read it to you now. It's an Old Testament portion of Scripture. That means it's written before the birth of Jesus Christ. And it is written to a people called Israel. And there was a certain captivity that came to the people of God of that time. And because they were taken captive, there was a certain thought that came into their heart. And here was their thought. They said, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, and we're cut off for our parts. In other words, I've lost the dew of my youth. I had a zeal for life. I had a sense of promise for the future. And I set out to accomplish it. But somewhere along the line, it just died inside of me. And I don't have the moisture of youth anymore. I don't have the sense of expectancy that once was in my heart and in my life. It's gone. And because it's gone, my hope is lost. And when it says we're cut off for our parts, what it really means is there was something destined for my life, but somehow I lost it. I forfeited it. Maybe because of the choices I made, I lost it. That special relationship, that sense of being worthwhile, that sense of joy that should be part of every person's life, somehow it eluded me. It fell through my fingers. And I've come here tonight, but I really don't have hope for the future. There was a time in my life where maybe I could have had, but it's gone. It's too late now. I died, you see. Preacher, you don't understand. Something inside of me died. And I don't think it could ever come back again. Therefore, the Lord said to the prophet Ezekiel, prophesy, or in other words, speak the word of God to them, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and I will cause you to come up out of your graves, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. God said, you lost heart, you lost hope, you lost strength, but I didn't. And now I'm going to do for you what you could not do for yourself. You died. Your hope faded. Your dreams slipped through your fingers. The zeal of your youth is gone. You no longer have the capability or even the desire to accomplish what you thought your life should be. But now, he said, I am going to open this place of death, and I'm going to call you out. And you will know that I'm the Lord when I've opened your graves, O my people, and I've brought you out of your graves. And I'm going to put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will bring you into that place that is yours. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I have performed it, says the Lord. I'm going to open your graves. And that's what I believe the Lord is speaking to somebody here tonight. Your hope died. Your strength is gone. Your future looks bleak, if at all. But God says to you tonight, if you can hear my voice, I'm telling you, I'm going to open your grave. I'm going to bring you out of this place of death, and I'm going to give you a life that is deeper, more profound, more wonderful than anything you could have ever gotten in your own strength. I'm going to change you so radically that it will shock you. It will shock your friends that know you. It will shock the testimony of people around you. Like in John chapter 11, there was a man who died. His name was Lazarus. He was not only dead, but he was long dead. And some here tonight could say that, Pastor, I'm not just dead. I've been dead a long time. My hope just didn't die last week. It died a long time ago. And I don't even know what I'm doing here tonight. I don't even know why I'm here. I have maybe a glimmer of hope in my heart, but that's all it is. I am incapable of change. I can no longer move from one place to another. That's exactly what happened to this man called Lazarus. He was incapable of any change. He was so stone cold dead that he couldn't bring himself from one place to another. And not only was he dead, not only was he incapable of movement, but the scripture says he was bound from head to toe. He was completely wrapped up in death. His mind was bound. His hands were bound. His feet were bound. His voice was bound. His heart was bound. His past was gone. His future was dead. His present was hopeless. And all the people around him bore with every voice in his head and in his ears were just adding one more dimension of death to an already hopeless situation. Waking up, some people wake up every morning with the voices of death speaking to you. Why get up? Why go to work? Why keep on living? Your life is hopeless. Your situation is hopeless. What you had was lost. It's gone. You're never going to get it back. Finished. I can see when the people wrapped up Lazarus and they said, well, this is finished. It's over. When they put him in the grave and they laid him on that stone slab, they said, well, it's finished. It's over. And when they rolled the stone in front of the grave, they said, it's finished. It's over. And that may have been some people's opinion about your life. And it may be the opinion you have about your own existence tonight. This constant voice is saying, it's finished. It's finished. It's finished. There's one more voice, though, that says the same words, but in a different context. There's one voice that the last thing that came out of his mouth before he breathed his last on a cross where he died to pay the price for your sin and your wrong and to take away the punishment of your death and everything that you and I have done against a holy God. He said the same words, it is finished, but it wasn't in the same context as every demonic power of hell and everyone else who may have borne witness of your life. What he was saying, basically, it is finished, is finished. Does that make sense to you tonight? That every voice that says it is finished, is finished. Every place of death is finished. Everyone says you can't, it's finished. Everyone who says it's hopeless is finished. I'm going to call you out of your grave. And I'm going to speak to you in a way that nobody else has ever spoken to you before. In Lazarus' sitting in this, laying in this place, and everything around him, it's all just tears. It's all just hopelessness. It's all just lamentations about what could have been, should have been, ought to have been, might have been. It's all over. It's all in the past. There's no hope for the present, and there's certainly no future. But suddenly, above and beyond all of these things, a voice comes and calls his name. You see, that's, I think, sometimes when God can show himself the most powerful in a life is when there's no other hope but his voice. There's no other voice that can make a difference. There's no amount of self-effort you know is ever going to change anything now. There's no amount of encouragement of anybody that is around you that can actually matter. And above and beyond all of it, one voice comes and simply calls your name in a way like you've never heard it in your entire life. Calls you to himself with such a tenderness, but yet such authority. Such promise, such hope, such a future. Calls you in a way that you've never heard your name called before. Calls you as if he's the one who created you. Calls you with the depth of love that nothing you've ever known in this world could ever produce. Calls you with a hope that's beyond any hope you've ever, ever had in your heart before. Calls you with such expectancy to give you a future. And as the scripture says, to give you a desired end. Calls you out of all death, out of all limitation, out of all weakness, out of all captivity. Calls you. Calls you just as you are. Doesn't tell you to clean up your act and get rid of the grave clothes and get rid of the smell of death. Calls you just as you are to himself. I think Lazarus heard a voice like none he'd ever heard in his entire life. It cut through all of the darkness. It cut through all of the hopelessness. It cut through all the despair. It cut through all the bondage. It cut through all the smell. It cut through all the death and went right to his heart. A voice that seemed to be like the voice of God. A voice that had the power to bring him out of the grave. A voice that had the power to give him a new mind, a new heart, a new testimony, a new life, a new present, and a new future. It was a voice like no other voice he'd ever heard. It was a voice that sometimes comes as a whisper. Sometimes it comes as a shout. Sometimes it comes as a thought in the mind. Sometimes it comes as a subtle drawing of the heart. But the voice of God comes to every person ever born into this world, ever created in the image of God. A voice that says, I died for you. A voice that says, I love you. A voice that says, I have a future for you. A voice that says, I want to come and walk with you. A voice that says, I want to raise you from the dead and give you a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit, a new purpose, a new destiny, a new future, a new conversation, a new life. It's a voice like no other voice you've ever heard before. It's a voice that cuts through all of the fog and thickness and darkness of this world. It has the power to go right to the center of the heart because nothing can resist the voice of God. It's a voice that says, I went to a cross 2,000 years ago. Yes, you've done wrong. Yes, you've failed. Yes, you don't deserve to dwell in the presence of a holy God. But I love you, and because of that love, I went to a cross and took nails in my wrists and took whip marks on my back and a crown of thorns in my head and took the spitting and mocking and slapping that should be yours. I took it upon myself that I might forgive you and that you might go free. And know me in newness of life, not just in time, but for all of eternity. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. The old things lose their power, they pass away. Behold, all things become new. Oh, thank God. What an incredible life it is to live for Jesus Christ. What an incredible journey this is when you and I have the sense to get up from wherever we are and start moving towards the one who created us and called us as his very own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. There's not an absolute thing that can separate you from the love of God. Accept the wrong choice. Accept when you hear the voice of God, you make the choice to stay in death and in powerlessness and hopelessness and weakness. And you make the choice to stay there when God calls you into life. It is an incredible thing to know the life that God offers. I don't know how to explain it to you. I wish I had 1,000 words that my vocabulary doesn't have to explain it to you. It's like you're suddenly raised from the dead. I remember I was a cop, you know, for 12 years, and I was hard, and I was selfish, and I was angry. I didn't know how to love people. I didn't know how to love my wife. I didn't know how to be a father to my son. I was inherently and totally selfish. And I heard words like you're hearing tonight. At first I thought, it's too good to be true. This can't be. Is it possible that not only could I be guaranteed eternal life in heaven when I die, but I can be given a new life here while I live on the earth? Is it possible? God knows I've tried to change and I can't. God knows I've gotten on my knees and told my wife I'm going to be a different man, only to be the same man the next day I was the day before. God knows that. I had no power to change. God knows I was selfish to the core of my being. Didn't want to be married, didn't want to be a father, didn't want to care about anybody but myself. God knows that I was dead. But I heard these words, that Jesus was knocking at the door of my heart and said if I would open my heart, he would come in and sit down with me and he would begin to live his life inside of mine. That's the easiest way I can tell you. It's like helium inside of a balloon. It's different than everything around. It just causes it to rise and become different than what everything else is. It seemed too good to be true. But I could hear the voice of God calling me, as dull as my understanding was. I could hear him calling me. I felt him calling me. And the thought would come to me, why should I even care? I don't really care about God. Why should I even be thinking these thoughts? I don't care about church. Church is for weak people and hypocrites. That had been my experience, and I'm not interested in it. Let the little old ladies with the flowers on their hats go to church. I'm a cop. I deal in life and blood and guts, and I'm not interested in going to church. But God was calling me. How do you escape it? I remember walking the beat one day and going into this church. I don't know what kind of a church it was. And I was sitting in the back all by myself and I took off my hat. Don't ask me why I took off my hat. Somehow I know you should probably do that in the presence of God. And I'm wondering, what am I doing here? Why am I sitting here? Why do I even care? God was calling. He was speaking into my grave, my death, my hopelessness, my everything that was unlike what he had created me to be. And then one day, long story short, fast forward, on the way to work, I had been reading the Gospel of John, and I felt like I had to make a decision in this thing. And I just pulled over on the side of the road, and I said, Jesus, if this is true, and this is sincere, it was sincere on my part. I wasn't even fully sure of it. But I said, God, if it's true, I open my heart to you. And I invite you to come in and be my Lord and my Savior. I'm tired, Lord. I'm tired of the fight. I'm just tired. And I invite you. I'm not looking for religion. I hated religion. But if you're real God, if you're real Jesus, you can have me. And I do open my heart. And nothing changed. You know, we expect some miraculous thing to go on, like as if, you know, angels are going to float down and just be all around you. And you know, like kind of a movie thing, you know. Nothing happened. Absolutely. I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I went to work. I worked my regular shift. I didn't feel anything at work. I didn't feel any different. Went home, went to bed. But as God is my witness, and I've shared this 100 times from this pulpit, I will share it as long as I live. As God is my witness, I woke up the next morning. I can remember it like it was yesterday. And I got out of bed, and when my feet touched the floor, I don't know how I knew, but I knew I was a different man. Something inside had changed. It couldn't have been another resolution to do better, because I'd made those and none of them ever worked. It was something different than everything before. I didn't fully understand it. I understand it more now, but God had taken me. In my small little prayer, He had accepted it, and He had come, and He had made this body of mine His dwelling place. He had washed away my sin, and He had come to dwell with me, and every promise in the Word of God became mine. And little by little, and line by line, and day by day, and week by week, and month by month, and year by year, the changes of God began to happen. He began to give me a different mind, a different heart, a different way of seeing, a different way of doing. He had raised me from the dead. When He called Lazarus out of the grave, and Lazarus got up and walked towards the voice of Jesus, the very first thing Jesus said to those around Him is, "Unwrap him and let him go free." And that's exactly what God began to do. He began to untangle my mind and untangle the cords in my life and untangle the old nature and untangle the old desires and the old ways of thinking and doing things. It didn't necessarily all happen overnight, but just like Jesus cursed the fig tree once in Scripture, the power of it was gone. It was finished. It was dead. And a new life had come. And this is the life that Jesus Christ offers. We're not talking about joining some church somewhere. We're talking about eternal life in heaven with God and a living relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Scripture says today, if you can hear His voice, don't harden your heart. David the psalmist said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I can only tell you what God has done for me. And the people on this platform tonight can only tell you what God has done for them. I can lead you to the truth, but you have to taste it for yourself. You've got to, at some point, do exactly what I did and say, "Jesus, if this is true, then I open my heart and I confess that I've sinned against God. I can't work my way into heaven. I can't change the way I am. But if this is true, and if You died to pay the penalty for the wrong that I have done, if You tell me that if I open my heart, that You will actually come in and change me and bring me to the place that I've always desired to be, and even beyond that, the place that You've created for me, then I open my heart, Jesus Christ, and I invite You to come into my life. I'm stepping out of death, and I don't care who tells me I can't. I don't care what kind of lie has come to me and trying even now to tell me it is finished. There's another voice that takes preeminence over these other voices, and He tells me that the reign of death and hell in my life is over, that I have a new life in God through Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, I'm going to get up and move towards the voice of God. And I'm going to let Jesus touch my life. And I'm going to let Him cleanse me of my sin. And I'm going to let Him make me into the man or woman that He has destined me to be. I'm not going to be sold short if God is offering me eternal and abundant life on this earth. I'm not going to be sold short. I'm not listening to any voice around me that tells me I can't. If God says I can and I will. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Glory to Jesus. It is an incredible thing to walk with the living God and to know the forgiveness of your sins and to know the power of death broken in your life and to be made into the man or woman that God actually intended you to be when you were conceived in your mother's womb. Sin and failure made you into one kind of a person. But if you will let God put that away, if you will confess that to be wrong and believe that Jesus Christ will forgive you for the wrong that you have done, tonight, you can not only be forgiven your sin, that means your wrong you've done against God, but you can also walk out of here with the seed of a new life alive within you. I am not preaching some religious pipe dream to you tonight. I've lived this. This is true. If you are here this evening and you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you'd like to open your heart, you say, tonight I feel the voice of God calling me. I don't understand it all, but I do know that if this is true, this is exactly what I want for my life. The sum total of my life has brought me here tonight to hear this voice calling out to me. And tonight, unashamedly, I want to open my heart and receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and the Lord of my life. And if that is you this evening, I'm asking you just to raise your hand wherever you are right now. God bless you. Just raise your hand unashamedly. God bless you. We're going to stand in a moment. And when we do, I'm going to ask those who raise their hands to come, please, and join me at the front of this auditorium, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer very similar to the prayer I prayed over 30 years ago. God will hear you. You make it your own, and God will hear you. This is a night where you become a child of God, and God becomes your Savior through His Son, Jesus Christ. When we stand to your feet, I'm going to ask if you turn to the person beside you and ask them, say, listen, if you want to go down to the front of this auditorium to give your life to Jesus and you're afraid to do so, I'll go with you so that you don't have to go alone. You could take a moment just to talk to each other. And so let's stand right now. And for those who raised your hands, please just make your way down here if you will. And take a moment to speak to your neighbor tonight. Ask them if they'd like to come. On your left and on your right. And slip out of your seat wherever you are. And please, just make your way down here. Up in the balcony, go to either exit. In the annex, make your way here. We'll wait for you. Forgiveness and life is what Jesus Christ is offering you tonight. Just come. Join these that are coming. Don't be afraid and don't be ashamed. God is not ashamed of you. You are the reason that Jesus Christ came to the earth. Came to get you. He lost you and He lost me because of sin. But because He loves us, He came to get us. Somebody had to pay for what we had done. And so He chose to pay Himself. And He went to a cross and suffered an agonizing and a horrible death so that you and I may go free. And He broke the power of death and brought us into life. If tonight you're going to pray this prayer, and if you know that this is true in your heart, then don't go half-heartedly in this relationship with God. Go all the way with God. I said to my wife when I first come to Christ, I said, if this is true, I want the whole thing. And if it isn't, I don't want any part of it. Don't go half-heartedly with God. Go all the way with God. Get into church somewhere where they teach from the Word of God. Get into a New Believers class. Start to read the Bible. Start in the Gospel of John in the New Testament. Start to read it and say, Lord God, this is your word, so speak to me. And you wrote it so I could understand it. So help me to understand it when I read it. And He will. He'll make it known to you because it's a living book. And then give me the strength to do right and to turn away from wrong. Lord, you are the one who wrote the rules of life. And what you say is right. And what you say is wrong. So help me, God, to do right. And you promised to be the one in me that will give me the power to do right. When inside I can't find that power, you will be that to me. And you will prove yourself to be God to me. You'll help me. This is the greatest day of your life tonight. Opening your heart and entering into a living relationship with God. There's no greater day that you will ever experience than this night tonight. This will change the course of your life. If you are sincere tonight, you won't recognize yourself in just a year or two from now. You will look in the mirror and say, where did that other person go? You will so change. The very first thing you notice is when you come to Christ, look in the mirror when you get home tonight, and you're going to see a different set of eyes looking back at you. Because he actually does come and takes up residence inside your physical body. The Holy Spirit of God, the third person of God, comes and lives inside of you. And you begin to change from the inside out. That's the first thing I noticed after I got saved. My eyes don't look the same as they used to. They were narrow and cold and hard. Suddenly they're wide open. They look completely different. And I thank God for that. I want to lead you in a prayer, but please make it your own prayer tonight. Pray these simple words with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came to this earth and died on a cross to get me back again. Nobody has ever loved me like this. Tonight, you have warmed my heart, and I have heard your voice, and I open my heart. I don't do that for many people, but Jesus, tonight, I open my heart to you, and I invite you into my life to be my God, my Lord, and my Savior. From this day forth, I give you the rights to my life. I ask you to lead me, guide me, help me, teach me, and let my life be a testimony for you for the rest of my days. Make me into the kind of a person that you have always planned that I should be. Help me to believe you and to trust you and to walk with you. Keep me from evil and turn me to what is good. Let my life count for your kingdom and for your glory. From this day forward, I make a declaration with my mouth tonight that Jesus Christ is my God and he is the Lord of my life. I belong to him, and from this day onward, I am a follower of Jesus. I believe that when I die, heaven will be my home. And I also believe that while I live, Jesus Christ will be my strength. I believe that I will have a new heart, a new song, a new voice, a new vision, and a new future. I believe this because God said it. I settled in my heart. As of tonight, I'm not going to hell. I'm not going down. I'm going up. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Let me pray for you, please, if I might. Father, I ask in Jesus' name for those that are at this altar tonight, God, seal this work. Don't let the devil steal it. Don't let the lies of the enemy try to take it away or minimize it. Jesus, Son of God, seal this work. Seal it with your Holy Spirit. Guide these so that none would be lost. And Father, I thank you. I ask in the days ahead that these men and women who've come to this altar will be dancing before you and shouting and clapping their hands and giving glory to your holy name. I ask you, Lord, to do something so powerful and profound that they will have to speak about it. There'll be no program necessary. They'll have to speak about what you have done in their lives. I ask you, Lord, to so radically change them. The people who knew them and some who even wrote them off will be stunned. They will stand and not know what to say when they see these who are dead raised back to life again. And Father, I thank you for it. I ask you, God, to have that your peace go home with each one of these. And when they go to bed tonight, they can shout, oh God, for glory for what you have done tonight. And Father, we thank you as a church, Lord, for the privilege of being alive at this hour and see you work so powerfully in so many lives. God Almighty, tonight we choose to join the angels who are round about the throne of God that your word says are rejoicing over these that have come to Christ as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' mighty name, let's give God a shout of glory in this house tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.